queridas, queridos. Welcome back to the Beam and Flow podcast, a nitty-gritty exploration of your body, energy, awareness, movement, and flow. I am your host, Chloe Cofresi. Here we go. Enjoy the show. Buenas. Okay, so just me today, doing a solo, and I am wanting to dive a little deeper into this subject of accountability that we've been talking about all season. And I guess maybe a good place to start is why I wanted to talk about accountability in the first place. And I guess the truth is that over the summer, I was seeing someone, I'm no longer seeing him, and he, you know, knew my work, knew what I do, and the conversations I like to have. And because I'm in the space, he kind of wanted me to hear some of the other side of some of the conversations that we have here on Beam and Flow. So I was watching a lot of YouTube videos around the red pill movement. And if you don't know what red pill is, it's basically a community of men who have rejected the idea of relationships with women, of dating, and have a lot of things to say around why they are no longer interested in relationship, in women. And one of the things that I heard quite a bit was this idea that women lack accountability. Now, there's a lot of things that I heard in looking into the red pill community that I don't entirely disagree with. I do think that in a lot of ways, women have bought into a lie about what is going to make us whole and what is going to light us up. And our bodies, I think, are showing us that. There's so many epidemics of women's health, within women's health. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. However, this idea of women not being accountable is just not something I see in my life, in my circle. I'm friends with some pretty phenomenal women, as y'all have heard on this podcast. And, you know, I've lived all over the United States. I've lived in Mexico. I've lived in Puerto Rico. So you're going to hear sometimes different accents coming out. That's me. I'm just saying that now because I feel like it's come up before and I'm being accountable to myself by saying, you know what, that was something that it was a mask that I put on before, that I have to always sound a certain way. But the truth is I've lived everywhere and I grew up speaking two languages and I'm just as comfortable, you know, with my homies in the Bronx as I am, well, not a super comfortable down south, but I can handle myself down south, you know? So I've lived down there and sometimes a y'all slips out. It happens. Pero, and then sometimes a pero slips out. Anyway, that was a sidetrack, but I think an important one. Because the point is that going back to accountability, I'm being accountable to the things that might distract me from staying present in this moment, in this conversation with you. And I have so many powerhouse women in my life who hold me accountable, who ask me to hold them accountable. And I wanted to really have that conversation come through this season. To talk about the different ways that we do hold each other accountable, that we hold ourselves accountable. So we've heard from GV, the production manager of Lapidata Productions. We've heard from Adriana Vargas, the creator, the founder, the owner of Alivio Wellness, where I do lymphatic drainage, where Feli, who you heard in season 2, and Stephanie, who you heard in season 3, they both do lymphatic drainage at Alivio as well. We have a really beautiful community of women that I'm wanting to bring their voices to you. We're going to be having Chiquita Brujita on, and that conversation is going to be amazing. But the reason why I want to have these conversations is because I wouldn't be here doing what I do and living as wholly as I do without accountability. So I want to talk about accountability and I want to actually read the Webster's 1828 definition of accountability. So I went to a very small private schools for a lot of my early education. And one of the things that was really stressed and drilled into us was looking at primary sources and using primary source material. So the English language has been in really made up to distract us from the truth. It is easily manipulated and mutable. And so it's important to know what these words that make up the English language as we know it, were intended to mean. Even if we are using words in different ways today, those words have vibrations. They are accountable to those vibrations. Okay? So the Webster's 1828 definition of accountability is the state of being liable to answer for one's conduct, liability to give account and to receive reward or punishment for actions. Okay, so let's take a look at what liable means, because we're talking about the state of being liable to answer for one's conduct. Okay. Bound, obliged in law or equity, responsible, answerable. Okay, so being accountable is being responsible or being answerable. It's the state of being responsible or answerable for one's conduct. Okay, so the state of being answerable or responsible, liable for one's conduct. To me, how accountability shows up in my life, how it plays out, is that I see the cause and effect of my actions and my words, and I take ownership of them when it feels great and when it feels shitty. So some examples of everyday accountability. I'm accountable to my body. My body is my barometer for my existence. It is how I can sense and know how I'm responding to life in the moment. So, in order to have a clear communication with my body, in order for my body's signals to be processed easily and heard really well, I've got to be in a practice of listening to my body. So I am accountable to every day check in with my body. Now, that's going to look different days, different times of the month, different times of my cycle, different times of just life. So, the general way that I'm accountable to my body is I cycle sync, I drain, I do lymphatic drainage, and I drink at least half of my body weight in ounces of water a day, more if I'm having sugar, dairy, or if I'm ovulating and having a little bit of alcohol and caffeine, even more water. So I change how I eat and the movement that I do and the creative work that I do every week based on where I am in my cycle. So when I'm in my luteal phase, in between when I'm ovulating and when I'm bleeding, which that's where I am right now, it feels really good to check stuff off of a list to get work done. So I have been on it. I cleaned the entire house today. I'm doing the recording this podcast. Yesterday, I was cooking all day. I did all of my, you know, all of my bills, all of the little things that I have to get done. I've been checking those off of the list with my body. Things that feel really good and are really supportive of my hormones during this period of my cycle are things like yoga, Pilates, strength training. So I've been doing yoga first thing when I wake up. Okay, so I do my body work pretty much first thing when I wake up. Typically, what actually happens is that the cats wake me up to feed them at around 5:30, 6 o'clock. I feed them. I go back to sleep for a little bit. Then when I wake up, I try to make the first thing that I do moving my body somehow, whether it's yoga, whether it's working with the balls, because I know if I don't do it first thing, it will not get done. I will have all of the best intentions and all of the plans. I will write it in my calendar. I will write it on my list. I will do all of the things. Pero si no lo hago, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, it's not going to happen. So I try to do my movement first thing in the morning. Why do I set that as an accountability thing for myself? Because when I don't do that, I notice I'm just not as grounded, not as connected to my breath throughout the day. And it's really easy to get spicy and twisty and knotted up. It's a lot easier to do that when I haven't taken the time to ground in myself, to move my body. So I'm accountable to my body. I'm accountable to the cycles in my body. I'm accountable to the cycles within nature. Let's talk about being accountable as a brujita. Okay. So I love working with the energies of the full moon and the new moon. Okay. I love with the new moon really clearing everything. I like to cleanse any crystals that I have. I'll clean the house. I sage the house. I mean, I do that once a week anyway, but specifically with the moons, I try to do that. And here's the other part of it, right? Is that I would love to stay up late with a full moon and go out in the backyard. I have access to a beautiful backyard right now and just be under the full moon. And I also notice that the full moon tends to make me kind of sleepy, especially if I'm in this part of my cycle, right? In my luteal phase. So I'm going to be accountable to my body and rest instead of staying up late. And I still do the things that I would normally have done just earlier in the day, because I'm staying accountable to the things that are going to keep me reminded of my connection to the divine. Remind me of the truth that I am already, that I am, that I am. I'm accountable to my body. I am accountable to my faith. I've been hesitating for a while. How much am I going to talk about spirituality? How much am I going to talk about my faith on the podcast? And the reality is I can't not talk about it, because it's interwoven in everything I do. I know my life's purpose. I know why I'm here. And I'm accountable to that. You know, once you know why you're placed on this earth, when you're not accountable to that, when you're not taking steps every day to be in alignment with that, you feel it. You feel it in your body. I feel it in my body. I feel tired. I feel cranky. I feel stressed. I feel hopeless when I'm not in alignment with my true purpose. So I'm accountable to my faith. I'm accountable to making my life a living prayer, a living communion and connection with the Most High and with my ancestors, because they're guiding me. They're the closest energies that are guiding me. And they went through so much so that I could be here living this gift of life. And I'm accountable to that. I'm accountable to their legacy. I'm accountable to my piece of the generational story, fabric. I'm accountable to that. My ancestors lived lives, so many thousands of lives, so that I could be here. So I am accountable to them. I'm accountable to the generations that are yet to come. So everything that I do comes back to love and inspiring joy for all of the struggles and the joy and the love that my ancestors went through, and for all of it that we're going through now, and for all of it that future generations are going to go through. Me being in alignment and accountable to telling my part of the story and living my part of the story is how I move forward in my life. You can't do that without being accountable. I'm accountable to my community, to my family, to my friends. I'm accountable to the people who hold me down. I'm accountable to my friends who have been there for me when I was going into surgery and had no one to stay with me. They came and picked me up from the hospital. They drove me to the hospital. So when they ask me for help, I'm accountable. I say yes, because I'm accountable to reciprocity in my friendships, in my community, in my family. I'm accountable to my part of that energetic exchange. All right, so let's get into some of the grittier stuff, right? The nitty-gritty in this exploration. Whew. Okay. Some of you are probably want to have some words with me after this one, and that's okay. We can have the words. We can have the exchange. That's what this is for. That's what I'm here for. Okay, so I personally am accountable to embodying love and joy above everything else. And that isn't a magical thinking, bypassing way of being. It's actually saying, I'm going to be in the thick of the pain and the messiness. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do my best to see with the eyes of love and to speak with the mouth of love. Now, I fully admit I don't have this all figured out. I am practicing at this just like everyone else. But how do you stay accountable when you are disrespected? That's tough. For me, that's tough. So, I had a therapist years ago. I was going through a nasty breakup. And I was also in the midst of a really deep depression, season of depression. And I was calling my therapist from my bathtub. Not a video call. You couldn't see me. But I was calling from my bathtub, crying. So angry. And I wanted to tell this dude off, my ex at the time. I just wanted to say all of the things that I never actually said. Because, as I told my therapist, if I really let myself go there, if I really say all of the things I want to say, if I act the way that I want to act, if I really let myself get into that anger, I will be feral. Like, I will scratch somebody's face off. I know I can get there. I know I can get there. So I don't go anywhere near it. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to say all of the things. I wanted to go all the way for it. My therapist wisely and kindly and with so much patience suggested that I tell him instead or write it down and burn it, but that I not actually say the thing that would be like the best line of the movie, just to really get it, right? And I was pissed off at my therapist. Like, what? Why? Why do I have to be the good one all the time? Why do I have to be like saying the best things all the time? Why do I have to be the most loving? Like, fuck that. Like, why can't I just go off? Other people do, and they seem to be doing just fine. Why can't I? And he said, well, you can. There's nothing stopping you from doing it. But he is definitely an elder for me. And he said, in all of my years of being human and saying the thing, and in all of my years of working with clients and seeing what happens after they say the thing, what I've learned is that you might feel relief and justified and on cloud nine immediately after saying it. But give it enough time and you will likely feel regret that you said it. Because, this is my interpretation, the regret sets in because I know in saying the thing in the moment that I'm not looking at the situation with the eyes of love, of divine love. I'm looking at the situation with my eyes, with my very human eyes. And they may not be lying. I may be seeing true. I might be completely justified in everything that I want to say. And that's the human in me. That's the human way of looking at the situation. So is there a divine way, a loving way of looking at the situation? So now fast forward many years later, and there have been two situations over the past couple months where I said what I thought at the time was the restrained version of what I really wanted to say. Like, if I really wanted to go there, ooh, mama, papa, I could go there, okay? But I didn't. I still went there. And I am nothing if not a wordsmith. I can cut you in two with this tongue if I want to, okay? And I can do it and dress it up in a really pretty knot and say, look at that, I didn't lose my cool, but I still got you, bish. Which is what I did both times. I said what I needed to say and wrapped it up in a tiny little bow and said, can't be that mad at me, can you? Basically. Because how could you be mad? What I said was true. Every word that I said was true. It was true. couple of weeks go by in both situations. And I'm left with, yeah, I was right. I was truthful. I was in truthful expression. And I was not accountable to my true purpose and to my true vibration, which is embodying love and joy. And I'm not here to say that I have it all figured out or that I know exactly how I would move forward in either of these situations if there was a future to move forward to or with. But I do know that in both situations, I sent a follow-up expressing the truest truth, the most divine truth, seeing with the eyes of love and not the eyes of my ego and not the eyes of my humanness or my broken heart or my pain, but seeing that these people are also divine pieces of God, of Source, of the Most High, having a very human experience. And if they did treat me intentionally or unintentionally in a way that disrespected my divinity, well, then looking at it with the eyes of love, I can say, wow, they must have been really going through something. They might still be really going through something. And maybe the most loving thing I can do is just say, I love you. I love you as a piece of the divine. I love you as my partner in this human experience, my counterpart in this human experience. And that's it. And what I did in taking accountability for myself was to then say, in both of these situations, I am sorry that I did not speak words or treat you in a way that showed that I saw your divinity, that showed that I saw the truth of who you are. And I'm sorry for that. It doesn't make me a bad person that I said what I said. It doesn't make me less spiritual. It doesn't make me less of anything. What it makes me is human. It is a human expression. It's a human quality to play with. We want to feel justified. We want to feel heard and seen, especially when we feel violated or disrespected. Of course we do. Of course we do. And here's maybe the last piece that I'll touch on with accountability for today. We are all, I am, accountable to remembering the truth of who we are and living accordingly. I'm going to say that again. We are I am accountable to remembering the truth of who we are and living accordingly. In those moments when I want to go feral, I want to scratch somebody's face off, when I want to read them like they have never been read before, in those moments, I am holding myself accountable to remembering that I am the Queen of Queens. I am the Empress. I am la hija del pirata. I am la que sabe. I am this particular expression of the divine, of the most high, having a very human experience. And nothing about how anyone else is having their human experience, nothing about how anyone else is humaning, or nothing about how other people forget their truth, forget their divinity, and how they treat me as a result of forgetting. None of that changes the truth that the source, God, the universe, the Most High, and I are one. Always. Period. Full stop. We are one. No matter what I do, whether or not I remember it, that is the truth. And so when I remember it, I am tapping into my full power. I am able to take responsibility. I am able to live in a state of being, of answering for my actions and for my words. Because I know that I am. Always. So, queridas, queridos, let me leave you with this in terms of accountability. Siempre recuerdas. Always remember. Always remember who you are and live accordingly. Siempre recuerdas. Queridas, we made it to one of my favorite parts of each episode, the moment of flow. I love poetry, I love words and rhythm, and how when you mix the two, you get into a beautiful state of flow. And so I want to leave you with that at the end of each episode. So here it is, your moment of flow. So for the moment of flow this week, I wanted to read this poem that I wrote in March of 2016. I was living in Staten Island at the time. I was riding the ferry. I was riding the ferry one morning. I was writing in my journal, and one of the men who worked on the ferry asked if I was writing a poem. And I smiled and said no. And then I thought, well, why aren't I writing a poem? I mean, I can. So I wrote this poem for him, and I gave him a copy of it as I walked off of the boat. And I will never forget the look of surprise in his eyes. So here it is. It's called For My New Friend. The sun shines. Warm life floods my face. I feel tears inside my eyes, ready to burst forth, cleansing pain, sorrow, loss. Songs of my life press through and against my heart. My body wants to swirl and spin like a dancer whose energy shoots from her toes, sending a cyclone of light through the multiverse. I am part of the all that is, and the all that is, all that was, all that will be, is part of me. I feel their spirits, am reawakened to the great mystery, the unknown magic of life being lived.